This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show, and it's not often that I get a little bit happy and emotional on this show.
Gee, thanks.
But that's because I work with these two clowns every day. but I am extremely pleased now to bring in a friend of mine that I have been wanting to get on the show for a long time, and I really appreciate him taking some time. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a former Rocket, but he's one hell of a dude. Charles Barkley joins us right now on the program. My man, I appreciate you so much. Thanks for joining us.
Well, you didn't make me feel that welcome. When I was on hold, the commercial about going bald and have sexual problems, that's really... I'm not sure how to take that.
Well, I tried to set you up to make you feel comfortable. Did I do a good job?
I mean, I don't think I'm having sexual issues, but I am bald. I started going bald and took it like a man and just shaved my head, but I'm a little nervous. That's the commercial y'all had on when I was on hold.
That's the producer Nick that did that to you, Chuck. That's definitely Nick Sciarra.
Thanks for having me, man. Thank y'all for having me.
Oh, man, you know you're always welcome here. Hey, I want to get into this because you know that you have that love-hate relationship with this city, and it's all because of your honesty. But we were talking about it on the show. I mean, because you're honest about what we saw in Game 1, and we didn't know what we were going to see in Game 2, you said what you said, and then you get heat for it. I mean, do you get to the point
embrace it? I don't get no heat. I'm going to say what I want to say. Some people are going to like it, and some people are going to kiss my ass. Listen, I have said... First of all, I love the city of Houston. It's an amazing city.
Yep.
The fans are terrific. Now, y'all got some thin-skinned people in that front office down there, which even when I give them compliments, they never call and say thank you. But every time I criticize them, they whine like little girls. So that pisses me off. And I've said before the playoffs started, I'm all in on the Rockets. But after game one, they made the changes in game two. That's the same team that I said I was all in all year. They were fantastic last night. But if they go back to doing that trash they were doing in game one, they're not going to beat the Warriors. But like I said last night, anybody who thinks they didn't change their game plan, they're an idiot or a moron. But those little thin-skinned flat Stanleys down there, they take everything personally and don't want us to do our job. They want people to blow smoke up their ass the whole time. And that's not going to happen with me. People expect me to be honest, and I'm going to be honest. But the Rockets were fantastic last night. And if they play like that three more times, they're going to win the series, plain and simple.
Do you expect them to play like that the rest of the series? Do you expect them to win the series?
I don't know. I thought it was a toss-up series. I was leaning toward the Warriors, but I said going in, I said before the playoffs, there's two teams that I'm all in on. The Toronto Raptors, I was 100% wrong. And I said I'm all in on the Houston Rockets because they played great all year. They didn't do that ISO thing they did like two or three years ago. But in game one, I thought I was watching the Mirage. That's not the team that I saw play all year. Now, last night, that was the team that I saw play all year. And when they get everybody involved and pass the ball, you know, we started showing some of their stats last night. Well, James dribbled like 600 times compared to Steph, and Kevin dribbled less time all three combined. And 21%, they shot the ball with 3 seconds or less to go on the shot clock. That they're not going to beat the Warriors playing like that. If they play like they did last night, they can beat anybody. But there's thin-skinned people down there, and I don't want to call them names. They're like, we're not going to make any changes. You don't have to make drastic changes, but you can't play like you did in game one, plain and simple.
Well, Chuck, here's the other thing. I said whether they admit it or not, they got to play faster, because when they play fast, they're at their best. When they're in transition, they get other people involved, because everybody said they don't have the stars of Golden State. They got to get the role players involved. Well, that's when you don't dribble it as much as you said. That means you get shots before the last 5 seconds of the clock, and that means on the break, you get uneven numbers in your favor where you get guys to get a rhythm and get a feel for it, and that's what they did the other night. But people don't realize it's also going to be a different animal when you go to Oracle.
Well, I think they play much better when they play fast, because I think they got better role players. I love P.J. Tucker. I love Trevor Ariza. I love Clint Capella. And if you those guys are better than the guys, the Warriors, other than the big three and Draymond, the Rockets got better players. But they didn't use them in game one. Listen, James is terrific. He's a hell of a one-on-one. You know, even when I said a month ago, James Harden, in my mind, you know, I put him in a conversation with Kobe, Michael, Bernard King. He might be unguardable. But when he dribbles the whole shot clock, then he just shoots a step-back three. It's great when it goes in, but when it doesn't go in, it's an awful look. And last night, they were moving the ball, getting P.J. and Trevor involved. Clint Capella, they still aren't using, they're giving him the ball enough, in my opinion. But, man, that was beautiful to watch last night.
Charles, I think I speak for every fan in Houston, and if I could just be honest for a minute with you, I think I speak for every fan in Houston when I say, we really want you to punch Draymond Green in the face. Like, that's really got to happen. Did you run into him this week, and did you guys talk at all?
No, we don't talk. And listen, I apologize for that, because I shouldn't. And I said, I meant it when I said it, and I meant it when I said it, but I should never let my emotion get the best of me, because he's an NBA player, and if I hurt an NBA player, I'm probably going to get fired. Now, if he hits me and hurts me, it's no big deal. But hypothetically, if I was to hurt him and he wasn't able to play, there's 100% chance I would get fired. But I'm going to do my job. I always try to enjoy, you know me, I ain't never going to say anything just for a dramatic effect.
Right.
I'm going to try to always be honest and straightforward. The guy is a heck of a player. He's a good player. He's annoying. First of all, I got mad at the Rockets in game one. I can't believe they let him hit James and nobody went to his defense.
Yep.
That pissed me off. Like, I love what Marcus Smart and Rozier did when they pushed Al Horford the other night. They went right after J.R. Smith. You always protect your best player. And when he hit James, and listen, I know what he was doing. He was trying to send James a message. You don't hit anybody that early in the game unless you're trying to psychologically screw with them.
Charles, let me ask you this, man, because we've gone back and forth on this, too. And again, here's another myth that's in there in Houston. People think when you're being honest about the Rockets that it's because they owe you money. Now, you and I both know that there are deals that are made, and there's a lot of reality to what you are talking about. But you're able to draw that line in the sand, and you're able to talk honestly about the basketball side of things, and what you see is what you get, as opposed to what happened when you were a player, correct?
Dude, first of all, that was 18 years ago. I've been on television for 18 years. I'm not even worried about that money. I joke about it. It's a joke. It's not even a big deal to me.
Yep.
If I was really worried about it, first of all, I'm not worried about it. I'm good. But I've never said, even when I get I brag about Daryl Morey, I brag about Mike D'Antoni, I brag about James. But if you say one thing about them little flat Stanleys down there, I always tell them, they got thinner skin than Flat Stanley down there. And listen, everybody knows after watching game one and game two, those were like night and day. Those games were like night and day. Anybody who don't think those games were night and day just is, number one, they're lying, and they're just not being honest. And if the Rockets played like they did last night, man, it's going to be a hell of a series. Because if you go back to my comment before this series started, I was really excited for this series. Because, you know, we have to waste our time during the regular season, act like it wasn't going to come down to the Rockets and the Warriors. And I want this to be a long, drawn-out monster series. I would love that. I don't care who wins. Because once it's over, I'm on vacation for the next 4 months, and I'm going to play golf and fish every day. And I ain't going to think about basketball until the season starts again. Joe, you know me. I'm going to play golf and fish every day for the next 4 months. I don't give a rat's ass who wins the championship. I just want this thing to be over so I can get to my fishing and golfing.
Now, the fishing thing's new to me, but there's a lot of things new to me. And I want to say first and foremost, on this show, I talk about your athletic prowess all the time. And I bring up stories about playing 36 holes and watching you smoke guys in a 100-yard dash. And all of our friends that thought that they were somewhat feeling frisky about being athletic until you had to put them in their place. But this fishing thing is new to me. I know the golf thing because I can tell stories all day about when you finally, like a blind squirrel finding a nut, would beat us. That you would ask if anybody at any restaurant has foot cream because you were so tired of kicking our ass all day. But where the hell did the fishing thing come from?
You know, when I was growing up, you know, my mother and grandmother, we were really poor. I had three brothers. Two of my brothers passed away.
Yep.
My mom was a maid, and my grandmother worked in a meat factory. So my grandmother would take us fishing like 3 days a week to supplement our food supply. So I don't like deep sea fishing. I don't do fly fishing. But I love lakes and ponds. You know, and golfing and fishing are actually the only two things where you can get peace and quiet, Joel.
Yep.
That's why I do them all the time, because I tell people the fans are fantastic. Well, most of the fans are fantastic. Some of them are just damn idiots and fools. But 95% of them are amazing. But when you go to the dry cleaner, they want to talk. When you're at dinner, they want to talk. When you go to the supermarket, they want to talk. But, you know, when we go play golf, me, you, and Brett and Bull and Chase, man, we just have a great time. We smoke some cigars, and we just talk trash, and you just get away from being in the limelight. It's the same thing with fishing. I take me some beer out there. I catch me some fish. I don't have to worry about being Charles Barkley. Me and my boys just shoot the breeze, and that's it.
But, Chuck, that's what people don't understand about you and Shaq. We used to get people in restaurants saying, why do you guys even walk into the place, let alone sit at the same table? And we said, if we weren't giving each other a hard time, then we'd think that something was really wrong, because that's when you – but that seems like the relationship with you and Shaq. You guys can talk it all you want on the air, but it doesn't take it – you guys don't take it personal.
Man, first of all, I love the big fella. I love working with him. But he's kind of like some of the Rocket disease. He got some thin skin too. you know, so I know exactly what buttons to push, and, like, and I do. He's a great guy. But I like pulling. I love jabbing him. But like I say, he's got a little thin skin at times, and I know exactly. Excuse me, what buttons to push.
Charles, let's talk Eastern Conference for a minute. Is it done? Has this been decided already over there in the East?
I think it depends on what happens the next two games. Man, Cleveland, the next two are must wins, and I think in fairness, the Rockets got to win one of the next two games in Oakland if they're going to win this series. Cleveland has to win the next two games. But, man, let me tell you something. That dude, Brad Stevens, man, what a hell of a job he's doing with strategy. But the main thing he's doing, he's giving those guys confidence. We talk about it on our show. I see, because I don't think Ty Lue does a really good job of instilling confidence in guys. Guys don't know when they're going to play. Guys are afraid to shoot the ball at times. They all defer to LeBron. You know, I said, dude, when I play, I said, dude, I'm going to get the ball when the game is on the line or we need a basket. You guys shoot it whenever you open. That's simple. I tell Jordan Clarkson that, George Hill, Rodney Hood, they just now started playing Nash. They got to play Nash against the Celtics because he's one of their more athletic players. But Brown and Tatum ain't doing nothing but kicking ass out there, boy. I mean, they are balling. So is Al Horford. So Ty Lue has got to do a better job of instilling confidence in his players. Number one, giving them playing time. If a guy does not know if he's going to play night in, night out, he's not into the game. He might be doing that fake stuff over on the sideline where he's cheering, but he's not really invested. And when you watch the Cavaliers play, they don't have any rhyme or reason to what the rotation or anything they have going on. And that's not fun as a player. You know, if you go to the game, I might get to play, I might not get to play. That's not a lot of fun.
It's great stuff. And on the flip side, Charles, one more basketball question, because obviously there's plenty more to get to, but you see the narrative change from the Rockets being done after game one to what's wrong with the Warriors and all the criticism of Steph Curry. Then they're wondering if his knee's okay. But do you anticipate Curry coming out and being a different player and being a factor in this series as it goes back to Golden State?
You know, I never get caught up in all that stuff that these guys have talk radio shows and want people to call in and argue with them. I said the Rockets were done after one if they played that stuff how they played game one. And like I say, after last night, I don't care what the Warriors do. If the Rockets play like they did last night, they're going to win this series. I mean, that was a thing of beauty. I mean, think about it. Not even count Chris Paul and James Harden. Those three guys, Gordon, Trevor, PJ, they almost scored 30 points. That was beautiful to watch. To have three role players get over 20 points, that's incredible. And if they keep playing like that, the reason I said this year is over after game one, because I thought that, listen, but the Rockets flipped the switch by playing the way they played all season. Last night was the way they played the entire season. It wasn't like there was a couple games where James just went crazy and he was awesome and deserves MVP. But for the most part, they were getting Clint Capella is, man, he might be, because of Victor Oladipo, he's not going to get it. But he might be the most improved player in the league for a young kid. I mean, I love his game. I mean, that kid, he blocks everything. He got a motor out of this world. But I was really glad that the Rockets made it a series last night the way they played. But like I say, they got to keep playing like that.
Charles, since you've been in town, have you had a chance to catch up with some of your former teammates and coworkers? And I know you haven't had a chance. At least you called Joel, but have you had a chance to reminisce a little bit?
Not really. I have been busy trying to get when the Rockets won, and I told all the girls I worked with, I'd get us a box and take them to see Justin Timberlake next Tuesday. Is it Wednesday? So, number one, I'm trying to fit it into my budget. I got to buy a box down there. So that's all I've been working on. So I got to come back down and I think I got 12 girls I got to take to see Justin Timberlake. And they're a bunch of old cougars because I work with them. I don't know why they look at that young boy like that. But I'm going to take them to Justin Timberlake next Wednesday. I'm really looking forward to that. But I saw Akeem's somebody I really admire and respect. He's just a good dude, man. Obviously, he was a great player. But he's just a good guy. But I like Houston, man. It's a wonderful city. I love living out here.
I was going to say, brother, you know what building our studios are in? Our building is the same studios as the Roxy. Right down the road from where used to have the green room.
I can't believe. Wait, listen, y'all killed the Roxy?
Yeah, the Roxy is now, I think, just office space. But we know back in the day, it was a different game to be played.
Oh, my God, man. The Roxy. Was it a Tuesday night, Joel?
I think it was Wednesday nights there.
Wednesday night. Man, that place was amazing. Man, I love Houston as a city. And the thing that drives me crazy about Houston, how long is y'all going to be working on them highways down there?
It's the never-ending question, man. They're saying that the nickname for some of these new minor league teams should be like the 290 Exchange because it's always under work.
Dude, I got my first year in the NBA was 1984. My agent, who was a crook, had me. I don't want to mention his name, Lance Lushnick. he stole all my money. So he had me come that summer and go spend the summer down in Texas working out. And they were working on the highways back in 84, 85. And I was down there for 3 or 4 days this week, and they're still working on the highways, man. It's crazy.
Hey, let me tell you something. You used to give me a hard time about dogs, and you used to give me a hard time when I showed you that my dog Bubba that I loved when we used to get in Tahoe. But now, can you just tell the people how much you love your two dogs, and can you verify the fact that you had a private plane for your dogs and your dogs alone to make sure they got to you?
Dude, I fly my dogs private twice a year. When I go back to Philadelphia for the summer, when I go back to Arizona for the winter, I've been doing it for, I think one of my dogs is 12 and one of them is 10. Yeah, I'm not putting them on a plane with the riffraff. They have to go private. They can run around and enjoy the flight. Yeah, I do that twice a year.
Charles, do you let them kiss you in the mouth? You let them lick you in the mouth?
Of course I do. Oh, of course I do.
Wow. That's not good.
Chuckster, you know, you keep talking about the thin-skinned people down here. I do want to tell you that because of those thin-skinned people at the Rockets, it just shows you that not every toad can be kissed and turned into be a prince, so you can just tell them to kiss your ass.
Hey, dude, that's the one thing. These guys, you know, it's amazing about this new generation of players and coaches and general managers and things.
CEOs. Like,
you can say 9 great things about them, but they only remember the 1 criticism. That's the thing that drives me crazy about the NBA players more than anything. Like, I can say 9 great things about these guys, and then they call me or the agent called me on the 1 criticism. They never ask me what's the criticism fair or not. But, Joel, it drives me freaking nuts. Like, these guys are so sensitive and wussified today. I mean, it drives me crazy. And listen, the thing that drives me really crazy, they never call me when I give them a compliment.
Yep.
But if you say 1 bad thing, and even if the criticism is fair, they go crazy. And they call you, the agent call you. And I said, dude, is the criticism fair? Well, I said, dude, just answer the question. Is the criticism fair? Listen, when I got criticized, if it was fair, I had no problem with it. And if it wasn't fair, I would ask a guy, tell me why. And then we disagreed, but we moved on. I'm not going to hold no grudge against any reporter or anybody. I talk to coaches and general managers all the time. They're private conversations. They're always private conversations because, you know, everybody know all the inner workings of the NBA. But I talk to players all the time. I talk to coaches all the time. I talk to general managers all the time. So that's part of my job.
I'm going to let you go, brother, but I know you've always taught me this ever since I've known you, but I just have to ask it simply because of the fact that everybody, again, always has criticisms, but you've told me to live without regrets. You've had a hell of a career. You're still doing what you love doing. I know you didn't run for governor. I know you keep telling me that it's only going to be another year and you're going to quit this thing, but you're too big for that and too good at doing what you do. But any regrets as you look back at your career and everything, the way it turned out?
I probably played 2 years too long. One of the reasons I like Houston, Rudy was great. The fans in Houston were great to me. You know, my body was already failing. I had 2 good years and then 2 crappy years in Houston. But, you know, but it's tough when your ego wants you to play and you want to play well, but then you realize, like, oh, I just suck. It's time to move on. So I probably regret playing the last 2 years, but the Houston fans were great. Rudy Tomjanovich was great. But that's probably it, man. I've had a great run. I've exceeded all my expectations. You know, people talk to me about winning the championship. I said, dude, I don't get my self-esteem from sports. I didn't win the championship because I wasn't on the best team. But that's not something. I don't sit around and say, oh, my God, my life is over. I'm like, dude. Sports is what you do. It's not who you are. It's like I thought that criticism was of Chris Paul was unfair. They're talking about, well, Chris Paul never made it to the conference finals. But the reason Chris Paul didn't make it to the conference finals, it had nothing to do with him. It had something to do with all them bombs he was playing with in L.A. You see what happened when he left L.A.? They fell apart. He's playing on a team with the best record in the NBA. They didn't even make the playoffs. So anybody, I hate when I hear, well, Chris Paul never made it to the conference finals. I'm like, whoa, and y'all think it's Chris Paul's fault? I've been saying for years, Chris Paul is the best leader in the NBA, in my opinion. He's been a great leader. He demands a lot. I've said that for the last 5 to 7 years. I think he's a great leader. I think Daryl Morey did a great job getting him. I think bringing in P.J. Tucker was fantastic. So, man, y'all got a shot at it. That's all you can ask.
Well, we try to be objective here. There's no y'alls, but you are part of our y'all. You know, I appreciate you like you would not believe, my man. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. I know you're busy.
Well, you know, I love you like a brother, man. Can't believe we got to wait today on Sunday, man. Can you believe that?
I know. It's going to be – but hopefully it's worth the wait. And as you said, hopefully it continues to be a great series.
I hope it's a great series, man. Hopefully I get to see you when I'm down there next week.
You got it. Count on it, my friend. Charles Barkley's been joining us. Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it, man.
Okay, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, Charles.
There you go, Charles Barkley. We crushed a break, so we're going to get a little makeup time here, but we really appreciate that. Back with more of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Guys, we appreciate it. Spending a little extra time. We blew that break out of the water, but I think it was well worth it to have Charles Barkley join us. That was fantastic. Since he was joking about it, but I do want to tell everybody that if you're suffering from ED and you've had all the pills and you haven't seen the results, we all know ED is an issue that many, many, many people deal with. Many guys are dealing with it right now. And I've got people at Greater Texan Health that can help you if you are one of those people. Greater Texan Health is going to meet you in person, put together a customized plan, and help you end ED today. Right now, they're offering a free confidential exam and testing. All you got to do is call them, set up the appointment. It's all free. Free exam, free testing. Just call 713-554-4915. That's 713-554-4915. They're conveniently located right inside the medical center. They're right by NRG Stadium on South Main, so they're going to be pretty close to wherever you work or maybe where you live in the suburbs. Easy to get to, easy in and out, and if their recommendations don't work once you get there, you get a full refund, so what do you have to lose? You get the free confidential exam and testing. If the recommendations don't work, you get a full refund, but if they do work, boy, oh boy, life's going to be a whole lot better. Check them out, greatertexanhealth.com, or call them at 713-554-4915. Once a Texan, always a Texan, Greater Texan Health. Wanted to make sure that we catch up with you guys, but some great stuff from Charles Barkley and put a lot of things to bed there. A lot of things about the money and the Rockets owing him money and why he, you know, has a certain opinion a certain way.
Yeah.
And just, you know, a whole lot of other things in terms of where people thought he disliked or thought a certain way because of certain things. One thing you're going to get with that man at all times is just shoot from straight from the hip honesty.
Kind of surprised. I almost wanted to say if he was pandering when he said that James might be up there with the greatest of all time. That surprised me a little bit. I mean, he mentioned him in the breath with MJ and King.
Kobe.
Bernard King was a weird add to that list.
I was like, what?
But he's a student of the game. You know, two things about Charles is he's always been willing to make sure he thanks all the old school players.
Right.
Because without them, he wouldn't have had the opportunity to do what he loved and make money at it. And two, that he studies tape so much that, you know, you might miss. I know for a fact he thinks Bernard King, just as a scorer, was one of the greats.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people sleep on that because we look at accolades and championships and MVP trophies. But I thought it was interesting that he threw him in there and no LeBron in that mix.
That too. That was going to be my other part of that. Yeah. And several people, I think it's Moenia 22 and Chris Davis.
Who has hated me in the past and taken personal shots.
Really?
Yes.
SMC all said, great interview with Chuckster and good job of The Usual Suspects. That was all Joel. If you're going to give credit for that, that's Joel's get. That was a damn fine get. He's been working on that forever.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all. You know, that was a big thing for me.
It's been a labor of love for you for a very long time. A couple of people texted during the interview. I wish Harden listened to this interview.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it'll be passed along.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And if you missed it, it's on ESPN 97.5 under featured audio.
Best show in Houston. Thanks, fellas.
Appreciate that.
That was great, period. And wow, amazing job, Mr. Joel, with Chuck. And thanks for a great interview, guys, even though Barry tried to screw it up.
What?
I don't know.
You did nothing of the sort.
Is it because I asked him if he let his dogs lick him in the face?
That's
funny.
Which
I feel like
that
was a legit. Yeah, I feel like that was a legit question. I don't know who you are, but kiss my ass, all right? I just asked basketball questions and one funny dog question. Just kiss my ass.
And he thought it was
Jesus.
Funny. You know, that's the thing. Just like I busted his chops. He used to bust my balls on dogs, and now he's flying dogs private.
Also, your dumbass doesn't know how to spell Barry. So, there
with
you
an
go.
An E?
Yeah, with an E. With these idiots, who spells Barry with an E? A dumbass. That's who. Let me answer that for you real quick. Jerk. Jeez. Anyways, that was awesome, dude. That's a good get by you.
I appreciate that. That was a lot of fun.
I did want to ask him what his favorite Justin Timberlake song was, just to see if he had one.
Oh, he's also big. He's a big music connoisseur that people don't know about.
Yeah.
And he's a lot of old school. But
I can see that.
He'll tell you, like, Boyz II Men's like his all-time.
Really?
Yeah, loves him some Boyz II Men.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess in Philadelphia, that makes sense.
But he appreciates
They were a Philly band or Philly group, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. so that makes sense.
Yeah, but he's a big Justin Timberlake fan, too. He'd probably rattle off a list for you.
Would he?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so, and that's funny, too, because I was telling you in the break, the one thing, too, is because he doesn't play favorites and he doesn't have a lot of love lost for how soft some people are over at the Toyota Center, he ain't calling anybody over there. But he's going to buy a suite so that he takes care of people he says he's going to take care of. I've never seen anybody more generous that way in my life, where in all his time in Houston, and he really does love the city.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't mention the fat women like he does in San Antonio. He loves everything about this city. But I know that he has spent more time tipping the busboys, the cooks, and the wait staff.
Really?
Because he always felt like they didn't get the attention that the people at the front of the restaurant do.
Never going to get that. You're never going to get that story, right? That doesn't fit the narrative of what people want you to think about Barkley.
And the ironic thing was, when we got Scottie Pippen, he sacrificed and took a $1 million contract. That's where the promise comes from of later on down the line they were going to take care of him. But that whole year with Scottie Pippen and his entourage, Charles picked up Scottie and his entourage's tab every time we were in the same place at the same time, and not once did it come back the other way.
Wow.
And that's where he got the nickname, No Tippin' Pippin'.
That says something crazy. Speaking of Barkley, though, it's funny because we talked yesterday on this show about Yanni and Laurel. And apparently, they tried to get Barkley to see, did he hear Yanni or Laurel? But they pranked him. And they didn't play the actual audio. They played something else, and it kind of went like this.
Ready?
First of all,
please play it.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Shaq, what did you hear?
Laurel.
What did you hear?
I heard them both combined, but I'm going to just go Yanni.
You heard Yanni? I heard Laurel.
I heard Laurel.
What did you hear, Chuck?
I heard Laurel.
I thought I heard Donut. I'm telling you the truth.
No, you
I swear to you, I thought I heard Donut.
You're the first one.
You got two chances.
You're the first one.
Or Laurel, and you got Donut. I thought I heard Donut.
Seriously.
I'm not joking.
Chuck, you hungry?
No, dude, I swear.
No,
let me listen one more time.
Let's hear it again.
Right, here we go.
Laurel. Laurel. Laurel.
Y'all don't hear Donut?
I hear
Laurel.
I hear Laurel. I don't hear Yanni.
That is so funny.
Watching it live. Were you?
No, I didn't see it live. But if you don't know what they did, is everybody else had it in their earpiece. They were getting the actual audio, Laurel or Yanni. But in Charles's, they just fed Donut into his earpiece. So it made him sound like he was hearing Donut when everybody else was hearing what the two words were. That is so funny. That more than anything is why I love TNT and that broadcast, because the pranks that they play on each other, like even Shaq when he took the dive, which I thought was kind of silly, it was still funny. He sold it well. Yeah. Did you see not too long ago when Oladipo made fun of Kenneth Smith and his walk?
Oh, the walk and the run.
Oh, God.
And then him and Charles sang New York, New York.
Yes. I'm telling you, that's why that show is so much fun to watch, because they don't take themselves seriously. They can poke fun at themselves and have a little fun at their own expense and at each other's expense.
We were on the road one night in Atlanta with a night off, and he invited us to go over to the green room and check it out. And you think it's just on the air? Those guys have more fun. I mean, you talk about the ultimate working experience where you look forward to going to work every day, because they just – and God bless Ernie, because he's the nicest man on the planet. But that dude has to be like the ringleader of that circus.
Oh, I couldn't imagine.
And it can get out of hand in a hurry, because Shaq's one of those guys that he doesn't care about deadlines, schedules, time. He's just going. Yeah. So that's a hell of a
just
show
whatever
to quarterback.
He wants.
But that yeah.
Kind of like you with breaks.
What? Okay.
Got him.
Don't you ever read?
Not yet. 1 minute.
I'm just looking at the clock to stay on schedule.
USA Mike said we need to get Charles on Love and Laughter with Beth.
You know what? He's the one guy that would probably have fun with that.
Look, somebody said Joel didn't ask the question about Draymond. That's why Barry gets some credit. Too funny. No, it's too late now. It wasn't the same person.
Okay.
But yeah, it's too late. I don't want any credit. Joel gets all the credit.
You get
for
credit
that.
Too, because it was a good question.
No, you get all the credit for making that happen, my man.
I don't need it. As long as the show gets it, we're good.
Okay. You know what? I'm not going to get credit for, but I think you guys want to get some credit for. $100,000. How does that credit sound in your bank account? Well, that's why you need to get out to Steelhouse Poker Club tomorrow, May 18th, and Saturday, May 19th. Steelhouse Poker Club has a $100,000 poker tournament, and it all gets started tomorrow, Friday, May 18th and May 19th. And if $100,000 sounds like a lot of money for a poker tournament, that's because it is. It's the richest poker tournament in Houston history and in Texas history. $100,000 on the line. So if you love poker, you love money, and you love both, you need to get out to Steelhouse Poker Club May 18th and May 19th. They're located conveniently at I-45 North and West Road, so you need to know where to go, right? You can get online at steelhousepoker.com and get information about the tournament. Here's the deal, though. It's not just the $100,000. Just $300 is the entry fee. You take your shot at the richest person in the history of Houston poker, and Steelhouse Poker is guaranteeing at least $10,000 every day for every tournament from Monday through Saturday. Let me repeat that. Steelhouse Poker is guaranteeing at least $10,000 every day for every tournament from Monday through Saturday. What are you waiting for? Get online and get started. Steelhousepoker.com is where they're located. It's I-45 and West Road. It's a $100,000 tournament only at Steelhouse Poker Club.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the big show and what has been a spirited, fun, and adventurous 3 hours of time. If you missed any of it, go back and check it out. ESPN975.com. Check out Podcast Arena. Basically just the three of us kicking it around for 3 hours. So,
yeah. Business as usual, right?
Yeah. Business as usual on The Usual Suspects. And if you missed anything, yeah, go back, check it out.
So you guys ready to join the Rockets bandwagon and pick the Rockets to win the series? No? Barry?
Warriors and six.
Yeah.
And I know you really want me.
Hey, look, come on.
Listen, ask my wife. Call my wife on the phone and ask her.
Okay.
Right now. No.
Now, Barry.
How much I was cheering last night. Like, that's the thing is I get heat, and I get it. That's part of the job. It's like an athlete getting upset if people ridicule your game. I understand that part of my job is I have to come in and give an opinion, and I try to be objective and educated about that opinion, but it's going to be wrong, and people are going to hate it, and that's fine. That's whatever. But I'm a fan of the Rockets. Before I was in radio, I was a Rockets fan. I know Billy D said he was been around, you know, longer.
He said he was older than both of you guys.
He is very old.
He must be old.
Super
as hell.
Old. Like, there we go. And black don't crack, but he's about 106. I mean, he's really old. He just doesn't show it. But, I mean, I've been a Rockets fan my whole life. So, of course, I want this team to win. It's not that I'm a hater. I don't hate the Rockets. I love the Rockets. I just have to be objective in my job.
Yep.
So, but I people don't cheered like my that. Ass off last
Let's
night.
Let's be honest. People don't like
it. Houstonians are not going to like
exactly
that.
Exactly right.
If you're going to pick against them.
Well, really, though, if we were in San Antonio and we're like, oh, there's no way the Spurs are advancing, that's not going to be popular over there either. So I get it. That's why they're fans. But just understand that a lot of times, except AJ, he's just a hater. But everybody else is being objective about it.
Yeah. Well,
except AJ.
Well, no, there was, but you know, like even... Like the whole Kurt Lowe and other bloggers were saying, if you pick the Warriors, then you're just not a real media person. No, if you pick the Rockets, and he was saying, you know what? And no one picks his way of just judging and critiquing on air talent in this market is based on who they picked in the series, and that's just a bunch of BS.
I saw one Houston fan. I'm not even going to name his name.
No, name the name.
I'm not. He name was it. Like he was tweeting out. Draymond Green, he was like basically criticizing Draymond Green's offense and said Green is now a liability on offense for the Warriors. Shut your mouth. You're just looking at this one game too and thinking it's over for the Warriors. Come on, dude. Like, he's not an offensive liability for the Warriors. I mean, you can say he struggled offensively.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, but a liability? No, that's just ridiculous.
Man, we've seen it happen. We've seen James.
That'd be like saying, what, Klay Thompson had, what, 9 points?
Is he a liability?
That's not a liability.
Opening round series. First game, Chris Paul disappeared in game one against Minnesota. But Chris Paul was huge in game two and vice versa.
And
Harden was big in game one, disappeared in game two in Minnesota.
Deciding game in Utah, Chris Paul had the game of his life in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm too excited to pick against this team. Last year, I said they were going to get bounced.
Well, at least you're being objective.
You should start a blog then, is what you should do.
No, I am being objective. I think this is a legit team that can beat them. Now, if they don't, they're going to obviously going to have to make that addition. Hopefully they get that
big
splash. But
it's year one, Nick.
I do agree with you, though, Nick. I think you guys agree, but they have to play a perfect game. It's possible. They proved it in game two, but that's how they have to play to win the series and win a championship. Are they capable of it? Absolutely.
Plus, I'm just being super selfish because that would be three titles in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which I mean, three titles in all of our lifetime.
Right.
For at least on this program, on this show.
Yep.
Which is super cool. I mean, not very many people can say, you know, I get to watch my team at the age of 10, and then 25 years later, get to watch my team win another championship, or potentially win another second or third.
But the good news, Nick, for Rockets fans, this is just year one of this newfangled Rockets team. And that's great, because assuming you keep what's intact, and then start, that you want, and then you start tweaking accordingly, you don't have to tweak for the toughest part to get, which are the two guys to base the entire thing around. And you get the right role players. And sure, there's going to be secondary, third-tier players that come and go. But the great news is these two guys mesh, unlike James Harden and Dwight Howard. And the future's bright for this team because of it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's kind of like a franchise quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you got to do to have a shot is get a franchise quarterback. And then you have to build around that. And that's kind of the thing in the NBA. You've got to get a superstar. And then you've got to get the pieces around that, whether it's more superstars or like they went out and added Chris Paul, they added their role players. So you're right. This is a team that should be set up very well for a very long time, because I think they see what they're capable of and kind of the formula that fits with James Harden and this style of play.
And there's starting to be at least somewhat attractive cities for other stars to come. I mean, when you win like this, you start to become slowly attractive, more attractive. Hopefully it stays that way. I don't know if we're going to be able to, you know, lure in the likes of a LeBron, but there's so many other names that you can add to this team.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to have LeBron.
Exactly.
You are going to be a destination that everybody wants to get to.
Yep.
You're going to be that destination team that veterans that are still got a lot left in the tank and haven't won one yet start going, I'll take a little less to play there. And Barry, to your point, it's not just their style of play that works. They've adopted and adapted to what is the newfangled NBA, which is, thanks to Daryl Morey, 3-and-D, layups and threes, but play fast, play efficiently, shoot the three ball, and because of it, they've adapted. Look, there's plenty of teams that are still stuck in the mud trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
So you've got so much going for you that's why I kept saying, don't think this is a wash or a bad season just because they don't get over the top this year. It's year one.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted us to ask Barkley about his golf swing, but I feel like that's – you remember when we interviewed Derek Lewis and he said everybody always – well, the first thing I always want to bring up is why I went to prison. I kind of feel like that's the same thing with Barkley.
I'm going to tell you this.
Right? Like, it's like
he's massive.
I'll tell you this.
Oh, Barkley?
Oh, dude, he's big.
Yeah.
I mean, he is kind of like, he is fat, but I'm just saying, even if he wasn't fat, that guy is just, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
Like, I've told you guys, he's turned me over and held me by my ankles with no help, nothing, and just held me there for as long as he can. He's just physically,
he's strong.
One of the things I wanted to get to with him, we didn't have enough time, was in terms of regrets. He never worked out. He never did later in his career, the last 2 years, he did a little weights and things like that. But if he looked back and saw what that can do to your career, what you can do to your physique, I was just wondering if he ever regretted not getting more into like conditioning, weightlifting, some of the things that people really focus on today, to think that he could have been even more impactful. I don't know. But in terms of his golf swing, I'm here to tell you, for as bad as it is now, I have played with him when it was good. I've always said he has one of the best short games, and he has taken a lot of money from me too on those days where he's gotten, where he had it all put together.
Yeah.
Me and my boys will tell you, he's gone out to some pretty tough courses in Houston and shot in the low 80s, high 70s. I've seen those two.
Wow.
And that's why when people say it's a lot of mental, and even when he did the Golf Channel show, they said it's literally in his head. It really is. Because if there's no ball in front of him and he just does a practice swing,
Beautiful
swing. It's beautiful.
Wow. Somebody said, is this Ryan Anderson's last year under contract? That was on the text line. No, he's got two more years. 2020.
One or two, right?
Two more. He'll be an unrestricted free agent in 2020.
So you got that going for you, which is nice.
Yeah. Rockets could win the title, and AJ would have rant the next day on why they really aren't the best team in the NBA. So there's that. I don't know if that's actually true.
Shout out to Crystal Collins. Hope you're doing great in recovery.
Get well soon, boo.
She said she's got them putting our show on, and everybody loves it in the recovery room, so we appreciate everybody there.
Last text. All right, guys, I'll rate your show tied for being the best on 97.5 as long as you keep Nick quiet and not trying to say y'all are better than the other best show.
I haven't done it in three or four days.
It's a hiatus. You know what you sound like? It's a staycation.
You sound like a crackhead making excuses why you can smoke crack on a Saturday.
Why?
I hadn't smoked it since last Sunday.
I mean,
it's been 5 days since I've smoked crack. I should be able to smoke crack again now, right? Like, that's not 3 to 4 days.
But he's making it sound like I'm doing it every day.
I mean, you had a run there.
A run of like two shows.
I mean, you know, I enjoyed it. I'm not
going to
lie.
But if you hit the blitz, 713-780-37.
No, don't you do that. With no minutes to go in the show. Yeah, just call the blitz and tell them. I don't know. Is Garrett calling for us? Because it's too late, Garrett.
The Rockets core.
I don't think we have time. AJ, love that call. Sorry, bud. Stay tuned
for the blitz and ask AJ
about the Rockets core and their ab work.
Tomorrow we're on the road again, Barry.
We are. Steelhouse Poker Club. I'm excited. I'm ready. I'm going to try to get out there on Saturday and play in the tourney. So if you're are you a poker guy?
No. I told you that. I've never played before in my life.
Really?
Yeah,
we got to get you out there. I'd love to see you take some money.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Did I say that on
the line? Yeah, kind of.
Steelhouse Poker Club, May 18th, May 19th. But we'll be out there tomorrow. It's going to be fun.
So we're looking forward to it on a F Yeah Friday. We will wrap up the week. Appreciate you guys being a part of it. For Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Steelhouse Poker. And the Blitz is up next. Don't do anything. Just leave it right there, right here on ESPN 97.5.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.